Matthew.
Okay.
Matthew.
Good morning.
Good morning.
That was just the beginning verse, but good morning. We'll start off. The title is Comfort in Christ. Mm-hmm. Comfort in Christ. And I was thinking about this last night, and this morning I finally decided, I said, that's what it'll be. And more appropriately, by being Valentine's Day yesterday, was it yesterday?
Yeah.
You think that when you think of love, being loved and being accepted, that's what most people, they want, right? Mm-hmm. And if you don't feel that, then it'll depress you, or you can be depressed. And not just that, but other things happen in our lives that that take the steam out of us, so to speak. And any assembly I go to, when you go here or wherever, just the place I left, is you see people, and I people might just say, yeah, that's Karen, and that's Jenny. But when I go in, you know what I see? I see the story. Or even if I don't know, I know that every one of us have a story. Mm-hmm. When I say have a story, we have a challenge. Something that either depresses us or makes us despondent or challenges us. We all have that issue or issues that you can't shake.
You see that in me?
You know what? That's the old saying, and I think there's 8 million stories in the naked city. That's New York. Where it said everybody has a story, Frank.
I know that.
Everybody.
I was joking.
And when I looked at that, now think about this. I thought about this passage in Mark. Look at Matthew chapter 9. That's where we'll start off. Matthew chapter 9.
36.
Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Now you think about, we're believers. We trust Christ. Do you know that even our Lord, you know what the scripture called our Lord? He was a man of sorrows. Well acquainted with grief. What? Jesus? Jesus was a man of sorrows. You know what? We think about this. When we think about Jesus, we're not supposed to be sad.
Yeah.
Everybody's supposed to be happy.
Yeah.
You spoke around, bless you, Lord bless you. But even the Lord himself, the scripture said to Isaiah that he was a man of sorrows.
Okay.
Well acquainted with grief. Wait a minute. Something's wrong with that picture, isn't it?
Yeah.
But the things that you want to look at that, you're looking at that for that verse? Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53.
That's why when Mary was so upset, Mary
he says, a man, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief as we hid, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before the shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And I just read all that to give you, when we talk about the Lord, We see the victory, victory, happy side. That's what we're taught. Mm-hmm. But there are some things that the Lord went through.
Mm-hmm. And still going through.
And you know what Hebrews said is, he is not a high priest for them. We take this example that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was tempted in all points, like as we are. So you know what? The old folks would say this, and when it gets real tough, you know, I used to hear my grandmother say this: "Lord, have mercy." You say, "Lord, Lord, have mercy." What do you say when you don't know what to say?
Lord, have mercy.
Well, Matthew chapter 9, he said this. Let's start at verse 27. Oops. I know that's not on the paper, but we start at verse 27. Matthew 9, verse 27. Okay. Now, this is just I gave an outline because you all know how it goes sometimes. I'm going to try to stick with this. Verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" And they said unto him, "Yea, Lord." Then touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it unto you." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, "See that no man know it." But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, "It was never so seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "He casts out devils through the prince of the devils." And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, this is what we want here, he was moved what? With compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Now, I'll pick up these other two verses, is when the Lord looked around, he said he had compassion on them. Mm-hmm. Because he saw that they what? They fainted. Mm-hmm. And were scattered abroad. Now, can you imagine? Now you're in that time, and you're walking through Jerusalem, and you see these people who are all these infirmities, whether they're blind or lame, halt, crippled, whatever it is. You see these people, and they're all just laying in the streets, mm-hmm. in their affliction. That's why I said when I go in. When I go, wherever I go, even here, and this is not to say we're all, you know, we all have issues, but when I go in, that's what I see. You have to see how can you find the comfort of Christ? Not the stuff that we talk about, week after week, the building fund, the pie strut, all those miscellaneous things. You're looking at people who are hurting in some way or another. And they are looking for the comfort in Christ. Amen. Look, these two men, they followed Jesus. And they said, look, he said, they followed him. How does a blind man follow somebody? You think they were looking for something?
They were looking to see.
He said, "Look, have mercy on us."
Yeah.
And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this. You know, when people come to church, they're looking for answers. But here's the thing. This is at this time, that's what the Lord was doing. He could do that. Believe ye that I'm able to do this? And they say, yea, Lord. And he could. But we've been taught now in this wrong dispensation. You go in believing that he's able to do this, but he's doing something different today. That's why it's important to know right division. Because you can go into the situation like people do, looking for something that the Lord says, I won't do that. Matter of fact, if he could say it, he said, I cannot do that. You know what some things the Lord can't do today? Because he said he wouldn't?
What's that?
We'll get back to that. But you know what? We're in the same verse. Same book, rather. Mm-hmm. Look at Matthew 20. Start at verse 29. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. This is a different story. Some similar but different. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, what will ye that I shall do unto you? And they said unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus, what? Had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. Mm-hmm. Now here's another example. You have two men and they are crying out, and the multitude says, shh, don't ask for help. And they cried the more. Now I'm relating this to us people, where what we're taught when we're in trouble or we have pain, you know what we do? We hold it in. We don't tell anybody. You know what that does? It consumes you. And I have friends, you know what? And he always says this. He says, in a multitude of counselors, a multitude of many counselors, there's safety. And he would always say, he said that to say, if you're having some problems, you need to tell somebody. You know, Galatians 6 said this, is we are to bear. Right. But then he said, we ought to bear the burdens of, bear one another's burdens. But in the next verse, he said this, but every man shall bear his own burden. Because you can only, if they reach out, you are to help. But there, ultimately, it's up to that person. But here he says, what will ye that I shall do unto you? I've been studying the Lord in his earthly ministry. But I like that. You know what? He's walking, and they know he has the power to do it. And he says, what do you want? What do you want me to do? I like that. You know, Lord, he said, what do you want me to do? And they said, we want to see. Like, whatever that infirmity is. Now, again, this is his earthly ministry. This is the time where the Lord, he's doing those things to manifest who he is to that nation. For them. but I'm laying this. The Lord is compassionate. Amen. You know the last two verses? He says he looked upon them with what? Compassion. Yes. Mm-hmm. He looked at these two men with compassion.
And even so with the sorrow of the nation.
With the sorrow. You know what? He always asked them the question. They asked them the question, what do you want out of me?
I put him right on the spot.
Do you think he knew?
Mm-hmm. He already knew.
He already knew. You know, when he was walking and the crowd was thronging on him, scripture said, and the lady said in her heart, she says, all I have to do is touch him. All I have to do is, I don't have to shake his hand. He don't have to touch me. She said, all I have to do is touch his garment. And she did.
She's a strong believer.
And can you imagine the Lord, he's going through all these people that, oh, they all hitting him. And he, whoa. You know what he said?
Who touched me?
Mm-hmm. And Peter is like, what? Who touched you? He said, Lord, the multitude throng upon you. It's like, he said, no. Somebody touched me. I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. That's faith. And he could, you know what he said? Woman, great is thy faith. He met her need.
Yeah.
So he says that the Lord, so Jesus, 34, Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. That's another thing while we're here is why the Lord, you know the Lord is not doing what he did then because they spoon feed you this stuff. Us. Where it says, well, you just keep on coming and it's gradual. Your healing is gradual. You just keep believing or keep paying into this like an installment or something. But that's not what he's doing today. That's why I said some things that the Lord won't do. You don't have enough money to buy healing today. You can't pay enough tithes to buy a healing today. I know what they tell you. Oh, it's happening in Russia or it's happening in somewhere way over where you will never see that guy. You don't. He's not on TV. You won't be able to track him down nowhere. But they tell us that. Don't they?
Yeah.
Now, look. If anybody would be healed, I expect the Lord, and I'm not sad, heal my grandmother. Mm-hmm. Or you don't think it's believers in the hospital? Mm-hmm. Honest, sincere believers? Mm-hmm. If the Lord, he can shut it down, St. Jude, he can shut it down today.
Yeah.
If he was doing that. The same man who saw the little children and they said, go away, go away. And he said, no. Suffer the little children. Let them come. That same Jesus who had compassion on them, he could go to St. Jude or send his believers to St. Jude this afternoon if he was doing that. But it's full. Today, it'll be full tomorrow. It'll be for next week, next month, next year. Okay. Looking at these verses, Mark chapter 4, Mark chapter 1. Let's start at verse Well, verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him.
Say 41.
Mark chapter 1, verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him and forthwith sent him away and saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Now, here's again, the Lord moved with compassion. These people, they know what he's able to do. Some seek him out. Some, you know what, the first group, he was moved with compassion because they fainted. They were all around. You know what, the work, and he said after that, he said, the harvest is plenty. There was so much work to be done. The Lord would have been like Moses when the people came to Moses and he had all the cases that he had to hear. And Moses' father-in-law came to him. He says, you're going to burn out. You can't hear all these people. The Lord, if he would have tried to heal all those people, he would have never stopped healing. Matter of fact, John said there's a whole lot of things the Lord did that's not even recorded in here, but he would have been healing all day and night. I'm trying to draw this picture. A lot of people had a lot of problems, but the Lord, with compassion, he healed those people. But even in the second one, the people said, well, hold your peace. Don't look for the benefit out of Christ. When I say where people hold it in, you have some people that just give up. You have some people that who hold it in. And you have some people who do what? They go looking for it.
Begging.
Begging answers. Now, we'll switch to us, and you say, which one are you? You just say this in your mind. You don't have to. You know which one you are. Are you the one who fainted? Are you the one who's staggering by? Giving up? You gave up? Are you the one who's holding it in? You know, we know our issues, don't we?
Yeah.
We know our issues. Whether it's personal, financial, emotional, spiritual, physical, we know our issue. And it may be a combination of them. And we know where we are. But one thing about it is this. The Lord's not like this. He's not operating like this. So when you go into church, and I know, you know what, you can say this, but people, you know what, we teach this. We teach this, and I've been this. I go to Sunday schools all the time, and they teach this. If you're honest, if you're sincere, you keep believing, and the Lord will do it. I'm telling you this is what they teach that.
Okay.
The other places. They teach that. So they have people. Why do you think these people check out? When I say check out, some of them, because they realize what? They stop. Something. This is not happening. It's not working. What's wrong with this? And they said, well, it's you, Jeanette.
Yep.
It's not God. Because God's the same. Yesterday, today, forever. So, you know what? So it's got to be you.
Lack of faith.
Lack of faith.
Sin.
Some sin.
You did something wrong.
Something you did wrong.
You're not giving enough.
You know what? When that blind man when the Lord healed the blind man, and they asked him, they said, Lord, who did sin that this man was born blind?
Yeah.
And he said, neither his parents, but this was for you. He said, it's for your sakes that you can see who I am. We don't ask that today. We don't say, well, who's sin, Lord, that these people, we don't ask that question, do we? He was manifesting who he was. And look at Luke chapter 4. Yes, I know. It's not on there, but look back at Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Do you see that? Do you see those things?
Yeah.
He said, he sent me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. Sin. Talking about sin. And recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. Is he doing that today? Different program, right. Different program. So wait a minute. So you're telling me that because it was a different program that the Lord has nothing for my broken heart? The Lord has nothing for my comfort just because he was operating in a different way? All right, Romans. Look at Romans. Romans chapter 5. His character is, we know he's a loving God, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
We know he's a gracious God. We know he's a merciful God. We know he's a compassionate God. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So what we need to find out is how do we experience that today? Because again, I won't say our day is coming. Our day is here where we all have those issues.
Mm-hmm.
One or more. And everybody you know has one or more. I said everybody you know has one or more.
Yes.
They might not talk about it publicly. Especially our family members we know best, don't we? Husband and wife, we know best. So as you go out to this, you know what? I know what my issue is. My wife knows what my issue is. our families might know what our issue is, and I know theirs, and you go on and on. It goes out. I know the issues that people that I work with, because I see them every day. People I fellowship with. Some of them I know, some of them I don't. It goes out. So wait a minute. Some of them been going to church for 20 years. You mean to tell me God, his arm is short and he can't deliver? What's wrong? What's wrong? What's that? They don't. You know what? If you go into a dark room and they say, Karen, go back into the office and get this paper on top of the shelf. If it's dark in there and she doesn't know where that light switch is, she'll have a problem, won't she? Well, she'll grope around there looking for that light switch, and I might think, what's taking her so long? And she'll just go in there and either she'll find that light switch or she'll have to come out and say what?
Where's the light switch?
I can't find it. And I'm like, why? Because I couldn't find the light switch. You say, what does that have to do with Christ? He has a lot to offer today, just like then. It's different. But what we have to find out is, how do we access that? Romans chapter 5, he said this, chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. He says, now we can read those words, but he says we have access into this grace, this into this goodness. He says, and in this goodness we what?
We stand.
We stand. We and rejoice in hope of what? Now that don't mean I hope I see him one day. That's not rejoicing. That's not a thing to rejoice about. If I might, I hope. He said, I know. I'm rejoicing in my expectation. Look, he's already, 1 through 5, he's already been through everything that he's done. All those things he's done. So by the time he gets to 5 and he tells you that you have access into this grace, he's expecting that he knows, you know what? He's already paid for your sin. He already justified you. You already have imputed righteousness. He's expecting you, you know what? You got that and you appreciate it. And he says, we have peace. He's not angry with us. We have peace with God, and we have access into this grace. He says, and not only so. Uh-oh. And not only so, but we glory. Uh-oh. We glory in tribulations also. Semicolon. Let me explain to you what I mean. That's what Paul said. He says, knowing that tribulation worketh
patience.
And patience, experience. And experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Like, wait a minute. He says, we glory in tribulations. Uh-oh. Paul, he didn't, that we wasn't me. He didn't have that. You know what? If you don't know, though, tribulation to make you what? It makes you shrivel up. It makes you faint. But he said, knowing this. Tribulation works patience. Patience experience. Experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. He said, look, when I go through the bad times, I learn how to endure them. I learn how to endure them because I know that he's there. Now, one thing about this, he didn't always say this, I'm going to bail you out every time. Look, this is what you have to believe. He says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ... Look, he died for us when you weren't even thinking about him. He put it all on the line when you were an enemy. If he did that while you were an enemy, look what he says here. He says, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. He's saying, if I'm going through this tribulation, and I'm thinking in this tribulation, where's God? Where's God? Where's the God who loves me so much? Why is this happening to me? You don't think people think like that?
Yeah.
And they said, what does he... Most people say this. Well, he's teaching you a lesson. Wrong. Or it's something you've done. Wrong. Maybe sometimes maybe it is something you've done. But he says, God is saying this. He says, I'm right there. Mm-hmm. I'm right there. He says, hope. My expectation, you know what? My expectation and my trust in God, it doesn't waver. Because he's telling you, he says, I'm with you. The Holy Ghost, he said, the Holy Ghost is right there, shed abroad in your hearts. And this, he's telling you that I love you.
Amen.
Wait a minute. But I'm here. He says, I am too. Remember that poster? I know everybody probably got on your refrigerator. Footprints. Mm-hmm. Where you see the two sets of footprints in the sand, and then all of a sudden you see one set. And they said, well, Lord, you left me, or something to that effect. And he said, no, I didn't leave you. That's when I
carried you.
We don't think like that. But
he was quick on his feet.
But the thing is you won't know that what he's done without the information. You won't know what he's doing without the present day information. Because you'll be thinking, if he don't heal me, guess what? He's gone. If I don't have my house, guess what? He's gone. If I don't get on my checklist, my genie list, he's not there. He said, look, I gave you everything with my son before you even wanted me. Now that I have you, You think I'm going to leave you? We're the ones that have the misunderstanding about what God's doing and what he won't do. So we have to find out, how do we get this comfort? He said you got access into this grace. The thing is, we don't know what that grace is. If you have, you have access into something, if you don't know what you have access into, you have no value. It has no value to you. Am I right?
Yeah.
You can give a kid a $50 bill. You know what he'll do?
Go to the game store.
He might tear it up. He might eat it. You don't know what he'll do with it, because he doesn't know what's the value of it. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Look at Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. Yep, 8:26. When Paul talks about, just because now you get saved, most people teach you get saved and all your problems end.
You're home free.
Right. They say the reason that you're suffering, and the reason that you have all this is because you don't have God in your life. You need to go to church and you need to do this. And as soon as you trust the Lord and you go to church, then find out, it's gotten worse. Sometimes. But the thing is he's not exempting us from these things. I think Ecclesiastes said this. He says, one thing that I've learned, that through life, time and chance happen to them all. You know what? Some people get, you turn on news, people get shot every day. Things happen to people every day. And everybody looks at, the snow, weather, whatever it is. It's God. They got God in it. He's always in it. And yet, he has nothing to do with it. Paul said this in Romans 8. He said this, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now you can, sufferings of this present time, crime, natural disasters, economic disasters, physical disasters, the sufferings of this present time. God doesn't have his hand on every single thing that's happening here. People don't like to believe that, but that snow that fell on the East Coast.
Yeah.
Do you know somebody saying right now that that's God doing that?
He's burying them homosexuals up there.
Oh, whatever. It could be wherever it is. Okay. I thought that was something coming up. But if you know, then you know that it's not. It's just the sufferings of this present time. Do you know what he said even about these bodies? You know what he said about these bodies?
No, I guess not.
He said, you know what? It'll be sown. It's sown in corruption, is sown in weakness, is sown in dishonor.
A lot of stuff that's sown in.
Corruption does not mean that we're gonna get old. If we hang around here long enough, we're gonna get old and die. Know what the Lord told Moses? Now this thing will happen to us. Lord told Moses, he says, okay, come up to the mountain and die. You remember that? Moses, Noah, Moses, the scripture says this, that his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. That means, you know what? I'm in perfect shape, God. He said, that's all right. He said, come on up to this mountain, and in this mountain, you're going to die. Well, it ain't going to be us. He said, you hang around here 120 years. I was watching the news today, and it was a couple that had been married 81 years on TV. Do you think they look like they looked when they was 40? Do you think they feel good every day? Do you think if they went to God and said, God, fix me up? Think he'd do it?
Probably not.
Why not?
Because we don't know anything. We don't.
You know what? From that note, look at verse 26. 8:22. Start at 22. He says this, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, or to know, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Mm-hmm. Sound like we just read that. Patience, experience, hope. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Amen. And we know that all things are good. All right. All things what? Work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now, he said, what a man sees, what does he hope for? In this passage, he's particularly talking about suffering. If you saw the end right there, if you saw the answer right there, you wouldn't have to have patience. You wouldn't have to endure. You wouldn't have to have an expectation. Because God, you know what? Every time you got in trouble, God would what?
Save you.
He'd bail you out. Boom.
Yeah.
Every time, boom.
He doesn't take faith in that.
He's spoiled right.
You know what? He wouldn't be an issue at all. Mm-hmm. You wake up and you know what? You say, oh, Lord, boom.
Pains in the body, Lord.
And you keep on going. Mm-hmm. You wake up and you're like, Lord, my knees. Oh, boom. Okay. Whatever it was, you'd be all right. Yes. Do you know how many... Talk about a genie. If you can wake up, whatever it was, you know what? Ed be here right now. You think he'd wake up and say, oh, whatever it was, he said, Lord, bam. But he says, but if a man sees it, why did he hope for it? But now, we, what? He said, but now, we what? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. You know, my uncle called me. He's 88. He's in the hospital now. Well, he's at home now, but he had another heart attack. So we called and we've been talking about some things, and he was like, anyway, he said he knows that's the way it's going. He ain't going to be going back. He's not going back that way. He knows that. We all going that way. And I start thinking about all the men that was, you know what, this Brother Cox, Brother Griffin, Brother Brooks, Brother Turner, Brother Knox, Brother Smith, all them old men who I knew, they all dead.
I noticed that.
And you know what? Then I'm gonna say Pastor Watkins. And then what they gonna say? Brother Tanner. But they all had that hope. They didn't have a hope that God was going to heal them. They had the expectation, you know. Look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians.
I knew we were going there today.
Oh, man. 2 Corinthians. I didn't realize that my time was gone. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Mm-hmm. He says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands," what? "Eternal in the heavens. For in this shack, we" what?
"Groan.
We groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven." "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." You know what? We just have to do some what?
Focus.
Some adjusting the way we see things, huh? Mm-hmm. All right. He says, and I'm looking at these verses. Look at 2 Corinthians. We're in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, flip back to chapter 1. What do we do? What do we do with all these problems in the meantime, whether physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, economical? All these, this is part of the sufferings of this present time.
Yes.
He says, we go, verse 3, chapter 1, verse 3. He says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth in Christ." He says, what we go through, the same comfort that we get, you what? You give it to others. Well, like one guy told me, he said, "You ain't been through nothing. How you gonna help me?" That ain't, you know, but it's, as time goes on, you know what? You're gonna experience some things. You better believe it. They coming. That's where Galatians come in, where, you know what? You bear the burdens with one another. Flip over to chapter 11. Second Corinthians chapter 11. Okay, 5 minutes and we're going to wrap this up. 12 verses. You can't even get through 12 verses. He says, verse, where Paul, when Paul starts to talk about 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse, well, we're just going to, we really want 12, but I'm starting with 11. When Paul starts to talk about comparing himself to those other apostles in Corinth, He didn't talk about how much he knew. He didn't talk about what they did per se. You know what he began to talk about? He began to talk about the things that he'd been through.
That's what he knew.
He began to talk about. Look at verse 23. 11:23. He says, "Are they ministers of Christ?" He says, "I speak as a fool. I am more." And then he lists a whole list of things that today we are saying that couldn't have been a minister of Christ. And none of them are good. Look, he says, labors, stripes, prison, death. Verse 25, he said, "I was stoned, I was beaten, shipwreck." 26, he says, "Journeyings, perils in water, perils of robbers, perils of my countrymen, perils in the heathen, perils in the city, perils among false brethren, weariness, painfulness, watchings, hunger, thirst, fastings, cold, nakedness." You know what they say? "What you do to God?"
Yeah.
"What sin did you do?" And that's what they said to Jonah. Jonah got on that boat and this things went haywire. They said, "It's him." But Paul, he said, "I'm God's man."
Yeah.
"Nobody closer to him than me." He was, and it's true.
Yes.
That's what that's the whole thing. Them people saying, "Look, I'm God's man." He said, "No, you're not. I am." They walking around with a nice robe on, rings, bracelet, everything. And Paul, he said, "You know, I got to borrow your jacket." He got to borrow stuff. And they said, "He could not be saved. No way he's saved." But he said, "Look, chapter 12. He said, verse 7. "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, Be it according to thy will.
Grace is sufficient."
And he said unto me, "Whatsoever you ask in my name, I'll do it."
My grace is sufficient.
And he said unto me, "What will I shall do unto thee, Paul?"
Grace is sufficient.
And he said unto me, "Great is thy faith, Paul." And he said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." What? Wait a minute. What do you mean, Lord? He said,
"You can't shine if you're all puffed up."
when you run out of answers, he said, "That's just where I want you." When you run out of solutions, he said, "That's when I'll help you." You know, we try everything, no? We try everything.
Yeah.
We try it all. Except, "Lord, have mercy." How do I? He said, "You know what? They say you can't save a drowning man until he stops struggling. Because he'll bring you down." You know what they say? That's one. That's two. Third time, he ready now. You go on and get him down. Look, "I besought the Lord." He said, "Well, he's going under now." we'll be able to help him now. He goes in and he says his grace. Noah, and you notice when he talks to Timothy, Paul, Titus, and he'll say this to Timothy, "My son, grace, mercy, peace." Because he knows, you know what? They're going to need it. Just like we do. And Hebrews, he says, we have access to the throne of grace to come boldly in time of need. Well, when don't you need it? But what how you access that grace is this. You got to have some information. Number one, you got to know whom you serve. And know what he's doing. See, if I know that the Lord told me that he's not going to do this, then I won't be expecting him to do this. Mm-hmm. And I could, you know what? I could sit back and be in comfort with his company. You know, when Paul was in prison, he says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all forsake me. Can you imagine that? Here's the apostle. I done labored among you. I've given my all for you. And when it comes time for I need somebody, some support, he said, they're all gone. But you know what he said? I'm sure what he said. 2 Timothy. Chapter 4. Oh, you know what? Well, that's the last one. That's the last one. 2 Timothy chapter 4.
That's the wife for you.
That's right.
2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. He says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, despite all that, even in that matter, the Lord stood by me. He said, the Lord stood what?
With me
and strengthened me.
Thank you,
Lord. He strengthened me. He's, you know what? I can see, boy, Paul was somebody, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I'm thinking, boy, when he was on that boat, and everything was going haywire. And the Lord, angel Lord says, Lord told me it's going to be all right. Mm-hmm. Paul got up. He went back up there. He said, men, what did he say? Men, be of good cheer. He said, the angel of the Lord, whose I am, he showed me last night. He said, we're going to be fine. But you got to stay in this boat. He says, otherwise, I can't guarantee that. Now, y'all say, when you learn how, when you access God's comfort, if Paul said Philippians, he says, I've learned to be content. He said, I can do all things that Christ strengthened me. He said, I learned this. We have to learn that. And this, to go back to the word, Paul says, whatsoever things are lovely, good report, if there be any virtue, any praise, he said, you think on these things, and the God of peace will be with you. And the last verse, I'll just quote that. I quoted the rest of them. He said, when he writes to Timothy, he says, after all you've done to stand, he says, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he's there to comfort us. He's there all the time, great or small. Whatever the issue is, you know what? We just find out what his word says about that and rest on that. You don't change God. You know what he'll do? He'll change you.
Yeah.
That's his job.
That's what he does.
All right. That's it. Let's pray.